two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Monday and Tuesday, I sat for hours and I watched Cincinnati and BYU. I'm telling you from, and I have a lot of experience pushing the play button. Reggie, they're really good. I think they're way ranked. I think Cincinnati should be higher. I think BYU should be much higher. You take their helmets off and put them in. You have the Pac-12, Big 12, and Big 10. They easily could be in those conference championship games. That's how good I think they are.
That was Urban Meyer earlier today. Strong words from former Ohio State and former Utah coach about BYU's ranking at number 14. And man, it's just the thing that is so interesting, Mitch. I mean, there's so many fascinating storylines, and we're going to be talking about them all. But not one person on the national scene has said, yeah, this is right. BYU is just, they're middle of the road. Every single person you hear and read says, this is ridiculous. BYU should not be at 14. And I'm of the belief that BYU shouldn't have a chance to go to the college football playoff. I don't think their schedule is good enough. I don't think they should be 1-4, but I mean, they should certainly be somewhere between 5 and 10.
I just think that they should have a chance to be in that playoff conversation at least. I mean, that's what's so crazy to me. And then to have Gary Barta, the Iowa AD, who probably hasn't hardly watched any much of BYU football. I mean, that's what's sad, too, is that we're determining national champions, and we're saying to the playoff committee, well, they have a hard job, and, man, it's tough to piece together these rankings. How much have they actually watched? Hopefully they've watched the games. I'm thinking to myself, this is how we're determining a college football national champion? This is the most ridiculous sport. I mean, we talk about this sport all year, 365 days a year, and then this is how we're determining our champion? It's a big joke. And the thing is, too, is that the knock on BYU this year is strength of schedule. Look, I get it. The strength of schedule is weak. Like, the rating is not 81st. Great. The teams that BYU has played this year, they haven't been world beaters by any stretch, but BYU has dominated those teams. And the thing is, too, is that this was not the schedule that BYU wanted. They wanted to have six Power 5 teams. They wanted to prove themselves against the best of the best. They wanted to go, when COVID hit, Tom Holmes going to the Big 12 and saying, hey, you know, here's an idea. You know, BYU for 1 year in the Big 12 conference. They turned that down. All the other leagues turned down BYU. BYU had a game in place with Alabama. That ended when the SEC went conference only. So how do you tell me, again, that BYU is ducking folks? And then you got like people like Colin Cowherd are saying, you know, you got to give credit to BYU. They're always willing to play anyone. It's just, it's a false narrative. And the thing is that all these athletic departments in college sports are hit significantly. BYU, even, you know, $20 million financial shortfall they're expecting this academic year. You know, everyone's hit hard by the pandemic. And I almost feel like, again, they don't want to let BYU come in and get that $4 million payday. They want these other programs in their conferences or their, you know, Power 5 cartel to get the money. It's just, it's crazy to me that BYU is not in the top 10. I could have seen, you know, maybe 11. I was bracing for honestly 12 is what I thought.
I would have been happy with 12.
Yeah, because then they would have been in the New Year's Six at-large pool, which, by the way, we're getting some texters coming in asking about, you know, because BYU at 14, could they still qualify for the Fiesta? No, as an at-large team and an independent team with no conference affiliation, no status with any sort of conference, they have to be at least in the top 12 to be in the at-large pool. That's why being number 14 was so significant, because right now they stay at 14 next week or whatever it may be. They're going to, you know, be outside the at-large six. What's going to probably happen, Matt, is that BYU will beat San Diego State. And then that final selection Sunday, BYU will, you know, be placed at 12 in the college football playoff rankings or whatever. And then going into that selection Sunday, there will be that hope that maybe they'll be in the at-large, you know, bid for the Fiesta Bowl. But the committee, this committee that views BYU as the 14th best team right now, has to place BYU in one of these at-large spots in the New Year's Six. And I'm not confident enough to think that this committee is going to put BYU and select them to be in one of these New Year's Six bowls. So, you know, hopefully BYU can add another game, maybe piece something together, because, you know, they're not ducking it. They're reaching out to anyone. They've reached out to Marshall. They've reached out to Liberty. They've reached out to anyone and everyone to get a game. It just feels like the opportunities are shrinking quickly now.
Well, yeah. They're certainly shrinking, and you got to credit BYU for not playing the game that Washington played, because they could come out and say, hey, Marshall and Liberty, they're turning us down, we wanted to play Colorado. They said, you know, they could do that, and they might earn some goodwill by doing that, but I give them credit for not playing that game. And you know, Kalani and BYU and Tom Holmo, they're such classy individuals, I don't think they would ever go that route, and you got to credit them for that. A couple things, Mitch. Number one, on the strength of schedule. One thing that really bothers me about the strength of schedule, because we've seen this in the past, is going into a season, and this is more so for BYU than other teams, going into a season, they get a lot of credit. Oh, wow, they've got, you know, we'll go to last year as an example. They have a murderous row in September. They've got Utah and Washington, and they're on the road at Tennessee and USC. If they can even go 2-2, they're incredible. And then when the season ends, it's like, oh, well, their schedule wasn't that good. Are you kidding me? Their schedule wasn't that good before the season began. It was, wow, they're going to Tennessee and they're playing USC. So this has happened a lot to BYU, where when the season's over, you look back and say, well, it wasn't that great of a schedule. I hate that's the narrative, where before the season begins, it's what an incredible schedule. And that is certainly applying to this year, where you're like, wow, their original schedule, guys, we would have had a great idea of what they would have been. Well, if you look at the teams on their original schedule, Mitch, there's a lot of bad football teams on the schedule from the Power Five. Michigan State, 1-3. Minnesota has far, they haven't even come close to meeting their expectations. They're 2-3. Arizona State's not going to be able to play many football games. This schedule's just not that great, according to how the teams are being played. Now, I'm of the belief that you can't just retroactively go back and say, well, these teams weren't very good, so they get no credit. If you're going to play those Power Five teams and you beat them, you should get the credit. But that would inevitably happen, and this schedule, with the teams and what they've done in 2020, just wasn't that great. And so would the narrative be much different if BYU had played that schedule? You'd say, well, Michigan State's got a new coach, Mitch. They're rebuilding. They're not very good. Minnesota injuries and people have backed out. You know that's what the narrative would be. So BYU can't win with the strength of schedule. That's what's so frustrating. And it really gets under my skin that when BYU does have five or six teams on the schedule that are Power Five, but they don't end up playing that well, then they don't get credit for it. It's BYU can't win with the strength of schedule. And the other thing that really ticks me off, and we got to get to a break, so I'll make this quick. The eye test. Can we eliminate that from vocabulary of committee in college football? Because it means nothing, Mitch. The eye test, apparently that's not what it's being evaluated here by the college football playoff. You heard this year more than ever, they're going to lean in on the eye test. Bull crap. The eye test means nothing. I don't want to hear that term anymore. I'm sick of the eye test. Sick of it.
Yeah, I'm with you there. We'll talk more about this coming up on the other side. We'll check in with Mark Jackson for news, traffic, and weather, and we'll talk more BYU in the playoff coming up next. This is Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Shariza's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.